take us to the mountain. They're going to take us with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take us aside up on the mountain to meet with us that we might be renewed or experience a revival in him. This last Friday and Saturday, we had from our church, I think it was about 36 guys who all went down to Charlestown, New Hampshire to the Camp Good News facility. And there we had a men's conference with about 70 other guys from a number of different states, churches around Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New York. And as we met, we really met with Jesus. That's what it was about. It wasn't about the fishing, the shooting, the hiking, although that was all fun. It was really about sitting around the Word of God and renewing our walk with him. Actually, at the end of the conference, the speaker, Brother Dan Lamb, who pastors out in Ohio, he had all the men stand, and we had brought with us a bunch of rope that was cut into little 18-inch sections. In each church, he said, I want you guys to go and stand with your pastor. And so I want you guys who were at the men's conference, I want you to come up here with me if you would. And we're going to stretch this rope out. Every one of these pieces represents one of the guys from our church that was there. And so as we took this, we tied it all together, stretched it out across. So these guys covenanted with me to link together for the cause of Christ. And that's why we went there. That was the purpose of going to the mountain, setting aside the time, is for us guys to be stirred and challenged in our hearts to work together for the cause of Christ. Go ahead, guys. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you very much. So when I read these verses, I want you to hear how the Lord calls us all. He calls us all to come aside, to take time to listen to him, to meet with him, and to know him. Listen as I read to you Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, and then I'm going to take you to 18, verse 12, and verse 28, verse 16. 17, verse 1 says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up unto an high mountain. Chapter 18, verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99, and goes into the mountains, seeking that which is gone astray? Verse 28, if you'll look over there with me to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So as we look at each one of these texts, we find the Lord meeting with his people as he's called them out from the world. He's called them out from all the hectic busyness, the chaos of their time, their society, and he has said, come and meet with me. Meet with me in the mountain where we can find a quiet place, where we can find a meeting place, where he could touch and work in their hearts and their lives in a unique and special way. I want you to go back with me to Matthew 17, and we're going to look at that meeting. Matthew 17, verses 1 down through 7. Verse 1 again, it said to us, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up unto an high mountain apart. So there we find him deciding. The Lord knew. He said, I need to get these guys, and I need to separate them from all that's going on. And in your life, man, woman, child, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, neighbor, friend, it doesn't matter what tag you want to claim today, Jesus wants to meet with you. He wants to find that quiet place with you. He wants you to tune out so that you can tune in and hear what he has for you. That's exactly what he was striving to do with these men that day. Look down with me at verse 2. It says, and he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What do we find here? We find these men who went up to the mountaintop. When they met with Jesus, they saw Jesus in an all new way. Christ wanted to reveal to them who he really was. That here he is, God in the flesh, coming to die for the sins of mankind. He wanted them to see him transfigured, changed before their very eyes. You see, you and I, we grow up in a society and in a culture that casts out an image of Jesus Christ on media, newspaper, in the rumor mill of life. As we grow up, we draw an image. Maybe your whole life, like mine, when I was a child, the only things I knew about Jesus Christ was that he was some Bible figure and everybody used his name as a curse word. That's all I knew about Jesus Christ until I was 16 years old. I had to meet with Christ at an altar in a small church that was being started in an elementary school. At the end of that service, the pastor called forward anybody who wanted to come and receive Christ into their heart and into their life. I needed to transform, change, transfigure my vision of who Jesus Christ was. So much more than a curse word. So much more than some remote Bible figure that people referenced and referred to. He was God who came to die on the cross for me, for you. Me as a 16-year-old boy, you where you are in your life. But the reality is, Jesus Christ wants you to see him as he is. Not as the world wants you to see him. Not as your neighbor or your friend or the TV or the newspaper or a magazine wants you to see him. He brought these folks apart. Removed so that he could show them who he really was. And I want to challenge you. You don't have to go to the top of a mountain, but you do need to come apart, aside. In that quiet moment on the morning you start work, or during that break time in the middle of the day, or in the evening when everybody's gone to bed, you need to come and have a quiet time and meet with Jesus Christ that you might get to know him as he really is. As you come down in our text, look with me at verses 5 and 6. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. You see, God wants you and I to see Jesus as he is as well. Remember, Christ is part of this miraculous, amazing, almost unimaginable triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all one God. So amazing. And God the Father from heaven above calls out as God the Son is standing there transfigured, and God says, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. Listen to him. God says to you this morning, listen to him. Listen to him. Don't be so busy. Don't be so caught up. Don't be so distracted that you never hear from God. You never hear from the Lord. We live in a cacophony of noise. It never ends, does it? But we need to come apart. We need to tune it out so that we can hear God. That's what needed to happen that day. Look with me at verse 7 in chapter 17 of Matthew. It says, and Jesus came and touched them. And he said, arise and be not afraid. You see, we do need the touch of God in our lives. These men who tied these little pieces of rope together and linked them up all the way, reaching all the way across the platform of our church. These guys, whether in a small way or a large way, were touched by God Friday and Saturday. Why? Is it because that was a unique and powerful and unusual place? No. It's because they came to hear. They came with open hearts. God, speak to me. I'm taking time and I'm setting it aside to hear from you. And God reached down and touched each one in the way that only he can do. And you and I, no matter where we are, it's not that there has to be some special and unique place, but there has to be a willingness in our heart and soul where we're looking for God to touch us, where we're willing to let him come down and get a hold of our heart and our life and to change us. But we have to be willing. Amen? It's kind of like when you were a young person and, you know, all of a sudden you saw that little cutie. If you're a girl, it was a cutie guy. If you're a guy, who is a cutie girl. That's God's design, by the way. I want you guys to understand that. That's God's design. And so you got to know that little cutie. And then one day, you know, you mustered up the courage and you kind of creeped your hand over and maybe you held hands. Do you remember that? You know, maybe your heart went brrr. You remember that? Now, don't get me wrong. It could have been that you reached out. Don't reach out. You got to remember God's design. You could have reached out, and they jerked their hand back. You'd have got the message, wouldn't you? You'd have got the message. You'd have known, this is not the cutie I thought that cutie was. When God reaches out to us, and we are loved and adored by God, even in a state of sin, we are loved and adored by God. So much so that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. For God so loved the world, the worst of the worst. God so loved the world, and he reached out with Jesus Christ from the cross. And when you jerk your hand away, God knows, you're not interested. But when you let God touch you, and you by faith accept him, a connection is made that changes your eternity. Jesus met with his apostles upon that mountain because they needed to see him as he was. They needed to hear from God. They needed to be touched by God. And you and I in our lives, we need to allow God to meet with us that we might be a people touched, that we might be a people who hear from God, that we might be a people changed by the power of God. Go with me to the other text in Matthew chapter 28, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to look with me at verses 16 down through 20. It contains within it that text that I read to you right at the beginning. And here we see that God has a place of appointing. And I want you to understand that. Not only does God desire it, but because God is sovereign, he has a place set to meet with you. Just have to be willing to meet with him. Look at what transpires here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 down through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had, what's that word say? Appointed them. So I want you to catch that. This was not a casual, accidental meeting. Christ had said to them, now listen, guys, we're going to meet. And I want you to meet me at such and such a place. Now, all these guys on the front row here, they all knew we were going to go and meet at Camp Good News in Charlestown, New Hampshire. We gave those who wanted a map a map. Some of them came and met the church band. Some of them met each other and went as a carpool. But we all made it. And believe me, that's a little bit of a miracle if you've ever been there. It's out in the boonies. In fact, I have gotten lost up in that place twice in the 19 years we've rented that property. And you think getting to the camp is the boonies. Getting lost is even more so. I mean, there's hillbillies who come out and meet you at the end of their driveway with the long beard and the, what are you doing here? It's scary. That's not really true. That didn't happen. Matthew chapter 28, look with me as we come down to verse 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Is that not interesting? And I want you to think about this for a minute. Here Christ said to them, come and meet with me in the mountain. We're going to meet, put it in your GPS. We're going to meet right here at this place. And these guys took the time to go and to meet. And they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, isn't it interesting? God knows all things. And he knows all our hearts. And he knows that even this morning, in this place, there are questioners and doubters, and God wants to meet with you. Now, I love that. I love that God wants to meet with everybody, even the doubters. This morning, God appointed for you to be here. You may say, oh, Pastor, that's not true. This person made me come. God appointed it. You thought it just happened? God planned it. No, Pastor, I got up this morning, the whole family was going. I thought, all right, I'll go too. God appointed it. And you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know. I don't know if I buy into this or not. Just let God talk to you. Just listen to him. Allow him to touch you. Allow him to minister to you. He's going to meet you right where you're at, with your questions, with your doubts, with your apprehension. He's still going to meet with you. That's exactly what happened that day. Look at what transpired as we come down a little bit farther into verse 18 and on down through. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So I want you to understand who he is. We're not talking about just a little babe in a manger. We're not talking about just a child who went to the temple and impressed some teachers. He's so much more than that. While yes, he was a child born in a manger. Born of a virgin because he is the Son of God. And while, yes, he was a child who was taken by his parents to the temple, and there he taught, and all the wisest men of the land were impressed by what he said. That did happen. But he's so much more than that. He's more than a teacher. He's more than a miracle baby. He's God. He says, I want you to understand, all power in heaven and all power in earth, all that power is mine. Now you might say, well, then why did he die on the cross? If he's so powerful, then why in the world were those guys able to nail him to a cross, prop him up, and bleed him out? Why? Because he's so powerful that he gave his life. It's a big difference between somebody taking your life and you giving your life. But then I want you to go with me to the next link in the story, and that is that, yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was buried. But in 3 days, what did he do? He arose. He arose. All power in heaven and all power on earth, he says, is mine. Victory over death itself. How many of you have ever met somebody who rose from the dead? I'm curious. Not one of us in this room. As much as we grieve the loss of a friend or a relative, they don't come back. Houdini was famous for the fact that he had made a covenant with his wife. He'd made a covenant with her. He told her, he said, listen, if there's anybody who can come back and communicate with you, it's me, the famous Houdini. And after he tragically died, his wife spent the rest of her life trying to communicate with Houdini. She spent vast sums of money going through all kinds of soothsayers and all kinds of rituals and all kinds of things trying to reach Houdini. Jesus rose from the dead. You might say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Just because the Bible says so? Well, I personally believe the Bible. It's a verifiable book. It's historically accurate, scientifically accurate, archaeologically accurate. I believe the Bible. But do you know it's not only the Bible that talks about Jesus Christ's resurrection? Josephus, one of the most famous secular Jewish writers of the ancient world, writes about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He was not a Christian. And he writes about the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's amazing. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. He wanted those folks who met with him to understand that he is God and that he wanted to make a difference, not just with them, but the world. I want you to notice the last part of what he said to those men at that appointed place and that appointed time. Listen to what he says in verses 19 and 20. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, that text is to you and I. Because we're in that link to the end of the world. Isn't that amazing? We give out little devotionals. I don't see one up here. They're on the round table down here. Your little daily devotional. Does anybody have one here? Maybe it's in your Bible. You got one, Kathy? I see you. It's amazing. Some of these ladies have purses. I don't go on a 5-day trip with as much stuff as they have. Thank you very much. So we give these away. And this morning I did you guys do your daily devotional? I did mine this morning as I was getting ready to come in Sunday. And in this it talks about how that even the scientists of our day have calculated, listen to what it says, the law of entropy assures us, in fact, that everything decays and dies. Atheistic scientists have even calculated that the very protons in which matter is composed will eventually disintegrate. I want you to listen to that. The very protons of which atoms consist, the inner part. Scientists have determined that eventually those will cease to hold everything together. That means that you and I in this pew and the concrete and the carpet, that newfangled light bulb that we put in not too long ago because it's supposed to save us the earth. Every single thing. Even the atheistic scientists say it's all winding down. Now, when is it going to, according to their calculations, come to cease to be? If you'll stop using plastic bags, maybe we'll give it a little longer. Who knows? And I'm kidding about that, Jesus. Don't be mad at me for saying that. When we look in these scriptures, God knows that until the end of the world, Christ is with us. You and I are in that link of humanity. Jesus said, I want you to understand, until it all closes, I need you to be a witness for me. He took his guys aside. He took them up to a quiet place. He took them to a place where he could meet with them. Oh, yeah, there were doubters. That's okay. He was still happy to meet with them. He wants to win them over to him that they might understand all power in heaven and on earth are his. And he says to you and I that believe, you and I that have received Christ as our Savior, you and I that have gone ahead and acquired eternal life through his grace, he says, I want you to understand I'm with you until the ends of the world. But I need you to do a job. I need you to tell your neighbor, your friend, your relative, your coworker. I need you to tell everybody that Jesus Christ is the only hope for eternity. He wants to meet with you and I so that his touch changes us. And it changes the message of our life. Have any of you, you know, years and years ago, I don't even think, I'm not sure it even still exists, but do any of you ever meet an Amway dealer? Now, I know it's evolved, it's changed, and it's a whole new thing, but I'm talking about old school Amway dealer. If you ever met a real old school Amway dealer, you met a zealous salesperson. Am I wrong? I mean, they were committed. They absolutely were dedicated. And when you met them, they would go ahead and let you know the message. Hi, I'm Tim Taylor. What's your name?
Ted Gray.
Ted, how do you wash your clothes?
I have my wife here.
Your wife washes her clothes? Hi, I'm Tim Taylor. What's your name?
Noreen.
Yes. What do you use?
Tide.
You use Tide. Let me tell you what I sell. Because you're paying $7, $8. I don't know. Sandy buys it. My wife buys that stuff. But right away, they're going to break it down. You just met the person, and I'm in there breaking down to you formulas and calculations. And by the time they're done, you're retiring with $300 million in the bank because you changed your laundry detergent. They were committed salespeople. How committed are we to Jesus Christ? He meets with us. He touches us. He ministers to us. He saved us and gave us eternal life. How committed are we? Are we even 50% as committed as an old school Amway dealer? You see, he gave us a commission. He wants us until the end of the world to represent him. What an honor. What a privilege. Remember, he has all power from heaven, all power in earth. And he's reaching out to a person like me and you, and he's saying, hey, I need you to be my representative. I want you to be my ambassador. If you meet with Christ and you receive him into your heart and into your life, And you become a new creature, born again, transformed. Then you want to tell others. It should be natural. It should be natural. I received Christ when I was 16 years old, and I've told you the story many times. But I don't know that I've ever told you that when I went home, I told my parents. I don't think it's ever come up as we've talked through these 29 years. But I came home as a 16-year-old kid. My parents were totally non-religious. And I came home and I told them that I had gone to church and received Christ as my Savior. Now, I had no idea what I was thinking as a kid their response would be. You know, I'm not sure I even really gave it a thought. But their response was not what you would most normally think. My parents looked at me and they said, "Tim, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. You'll get over it." That was their response. That's all their response. "You'll get over it." And I thought, maybe. But I can tell you right now, I'm 61 years old, and I still haven't got over it. When Jesus Christ touched my heart and my life, when I met with him in that elementary school cafeteria at the front row, when the pastor said, "Come down, let me open the Bible and let me pray with you." And I came and I kneeled at that folding metal chair and he opened his Bible and I prayed with him that day. God changed me forever. And I have not gotten over it. When those men went and met with Jesus on the mountain, they never got over it. And he is with you and I until the ends of the world. When the atoms come apart, God is. He put them together, he can take them apart. God is. All power in heaven and on earth is his. Why do we put forth all the work, Pastor, the time, the money, the energy to do a youth camp or a men's conference? Why, Pastor, every week do we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why? Because you and I need to come apart from the cacophony of this world. And we need to listen and be touched by God. I want you to bow your heads with me, if you would. Bow your head and look in your heart. And I ask you this morning, have you met with Jesus yet? He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary, and I'll give you rest." Maybe you're like I was when I was a 16-year-old kid, and your head is bowed, and you've not yet humbled yourself and received Christ into your heart and into your life. Maybe you're like those few doubters that met with Christ that time on the mountaintop. But this morning you heard the truth. And today you want to meet with Christ. In a minute we're going to have the invitation. And I so desire that you would just slip out and come to the altar. Let us open the Bible. Let us answer your questions. Let us pray with you this morning that today God might touch you and give you eternal life. Christian, this morning God assigned us. He set a place and we're all here. Through his sovereignty, we meet at an appointed place at an appointed time. And maybe Christ has spoken to your heart. And he's reminded you that your calling is to represent him, to be his ambassador, to be his spokesman. Maybe this morning you need to dedicate yourself, more dedicated than an old school Amway dealer. Dedicated to represent Jesus. Father in heaven, as we come into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move and work in our hearts and stir us as we have met with you this morning. At the very beginning of the service, Lord, we asked you to come and meet in our midst. We claimed your promise. And Lord, I pray, I recognize that you answered our prayer and you are meeting with us now. I pray, Lord, that as you stir our hearts, you'd give us the courage to respond. Those who need salvation, that they would come. Those who need to rededicate their lives to you, that they would respond. Those who need to commit themselves to be a witness and a testimony, that they themselves would commit themselves to such a calling. Help us, Lord, as we worship you. Help us to yield to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.